Well, good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? All right. Well, we're here to worship the Lord today. And when we were praying in our small prayer before we started service, I was praying that we would worship God in spirit and in truth. Because Jesus told the woman at the well that God is seeking those to worship him, and he wanted them to worship them in spirit and in truth. And we have different ways that we worship. Some of us remain seated when we worship, and that's fine. But some of us, you know, raise our hands. Last week we were encouraged to dance around like a kid. And the main thing is that we worship this coming out of our being. That we're not letting our worship be curtailed by individuals around us or what we think worship is like, but that we let God lead us in worship. So Lord, right now we just come before you and we choose to worship you in spirit and in truth today. Lord, and I just release, Lord, right now in here an atmosphere of liberty, an atmosphere of freedom. Lord, that people would be able to enter in, Lord, to worship with you, Lord, that is true relationship. And I just pray right now, Lord, that any distractions, anything that's affected us this week, God, that it would be set aside and that we would choose to set our eyes on you. We'd set our mind on things above, Lord, not on things of this world. Lord, that we would bring those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, God, so that you are the forefront of our thoughts this morning. And we just bless you, Lord. We bless the name of the Lord. We thank you, God, that you are working everything in our lives for our good. And we receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.
Yeah. Sweetest darling. Let's just stay in this place just for a little bit longer. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but the worship doesn't end when the singers come off the stage. Worship isn't over when we stop singing the songs. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is not just a three-minute track. So we just wait on you, Jesus. We just wait on your presence, God. This is why we're here, to wait on your presence, God. Yeah, we're not in a rush to go anywhere, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Flood this place, God. Thank you, Jesus. Flood this place, Holy Spirit. Feel like there's a word somebody's burning in their heart. There's a word on somebody's heart right now. And if that's you, I just wanted you to be so brave and come and take the mic, because I feel like there's a word on somebody's heart that's just burning, that you're nervous. Is that me? Yes, it's you. Yes, it's you. For the congregation, God's putting something on your heart right now to speak out. Ladies, I'm going to invite you back up, worship team. There's something on this song and something on just singing out to the Lord and making a declaration. So, church, we're going to worship a little bit longer, but I don't want you guys just to go through the motions. You don't have to stand. You could sit, because the Lord isn't concerned about the position of you physically. He's worried about the position of your heart. So position your heart right now into a place of worship. Lay down everything to Him right now. Thank you, Jesus.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence. Love tasted and seen of the sweet. Yeah.
just the music. And I would love for us as a church to sing that without the music and no microphones. Just everybody lift your hands and your heart and sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Yes, Lord, your presence, your presence, your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for your presence. We're so grateful, Lord, that you make yourself known. You make us aware, Lord, that you're there, you're here. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that as Eric said, this atmosphere would continue. Lord, that not just through the service, not just through the preaching or the final song, Lord, but when we leave, Lord, that we would all be so aware that you're with us all the time, that you're always there. Make us more aware of your presence. Lord, make us more aware that you're filling the atmosphere of our life. Not just the physical atmosphere, Lord, but the very essence of who we are inside as well. Lord, we just release this truth into our hearts and into our lives today. We just thank you, Jesus, that you are the one, Lord, that leads us into your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, team, for coming back up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we got a couple of announcements. Can you put that slide? There we go. One Life Barbecue, next Sunday after church. Next Sunday after church. So I'm going to come dressed like for a picnic. So wear your picnic clothes, right? Come on, we're going to have a barbecue after church. What's that? No bathing suits, picnic clothes. Clothes. Thank you. No bathing suits. Yeah. Yeah, no Speedos or anything like that. Nothing like that. No, thank you. But, going ahead there. But, yeah, it's going to be right after church, and we're going to be having barbecued meat of some kind. It's going to be smoked for many, many hours, so it's going to be delicious. So I encourage you to invite your friends, invite family. Let's just see if we can just pack that deck. And we're outside, so that'll be all good. And if you want to bring something to share, make sure that it's individually packed items. So like a big box of potato chips or something like that, if you want to bring it. What's that?
In the small mini sealed.
Small little mini sealed individual packs, yeah. Although who knows what the CDC will come up next. Maybe by next week we can all eat potluck food. Who knows? Yeah, amen is right. Miss potluck food. Okay. Don't you?
Yes.
I mean, how long has it been since we've had a potluck?
Just as long as it's not green jello.
Yeah. No green jello. Okay. So we're going to start something on June 12th, and it's summer worship nights. Yeah. We're going to meet once a month, and the first one's going to be at Eric and Nancy's house, and they live off of
Yeah, we'll put the address up there in a couple weeks. So, but it'll be from 6 to 8 p.m. We'll be outside and in the backyard and sitting around. They have a little fire pit. So bring your chairs. Yeah, bring chairs, lawn chairs, anything to, so you can sit down and enjoy the time. So praise the Lord. That'll be great. And then anyone who would like to be a host home, we're going to have it on the second Saturday of every month through the summer. Awesome, right? Yes. People need to bring chairs for next week. So, okay, well, but we could carry chairs over from here if we had to. That'd probably be pretty easy, too. So, okay. So, we've asked David Martinez to come up and pray for the government and for Yakima. So, thank you, David, for offering.
Heavenly Father, God, we come before you at your throne, Lord God, and we just lift our government to you, God. And Lord, it's a challenging thing to agree with what they are doing and everything for some of us, Lord. But we put our trust and our hope in you, God. We pray for them that you will lead them, God, that there's no one that is out of your reach. Lord, that your heart has all of our hearts inside of it, God. Lord, we just pray that you will be their, God, just their guidance, their light, Lord, that speaks truth into their hearts, Lord. We pray that they will become closer to you, God, that they will come to know you, God, that they can fall under your truth, God. Lord, that they can seek your truth, seek your ways, God, and lead our country, God, into a God-fearing, God-loving country, God, God-serving. Lord, we just thank you. We lift them up to you, God. We lift them to you in every level of government to you, God. Lord, nothing is too big for you, God. You can move mountains. Lord, anything that you touch, God, anything that you touch can't remain the same. So, Lord, we just pray that your hand will touch each and every one of those hearts, God, and all of our hearts to trust and to seek you, God. So Lord, we just thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives and in our hearts and our homes. We lift our country to you, God, and our government to you. And Lord, our city, God, we pray for Yakima that it would be, God, not a city of the previous reputation that some people have of, you know, the thoughts they have of our city, God. We speak life. We speak love over this city, God. Lord, we pray that this city will be a refuge, will be a safe place, God, that there will be a light, God, for others to see, that there will be, a big changing moment that to continue for eternity, God, in this city, that your angels will be all around us, all around the city, Lord, just bringing our hearts to you, God. Lord, that our city can change, our city can be a refuge, God, for those that are wounded and hurt, God. We pray that for our county, Lord, that the county can be, God, just an example of your love, God, for those around. People can find you, God, that people see each other and see your heart, Lord. Amen. We just thank you so much for what you're doing in all of us and all of our homes. Lord, just pray that will be the same for our county and our city, God. We thank you so much, and we pray this all in Jesus' name.
Check, check. Amen, amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Do I have any happy people this Sunday morning? A few? Good. I'm so glad. So I'm going to be speaking today, on waiting. If you're like me, you don't like waiting. Who in here can say with a passion, with, all truth that you are an impatient person? A few of us. Okay. You guys need more fruits of the Spirit. That's all. I was a trap. All of you guys. No, I'm a very, I think I've grown, but, yeah, patience is one of those things where I'm just like, I want it now. I'm the person that is so happy, that our society is going more and more just making things a lot easier. The Starbucks, the fact that I can order my drink on my phone and then walk in and grab it, that's heaven on earth. That's revival. So there are things, though, there are many things in life, though, are worth waiting for. We were in Portland. We went for the weekend real quick, and we waited in line for Chick-fil-A. Now, my students know my heart for Chick-fil-A. If you haven't had it, you haven't experienced heaven quite yet. And it does not matter how long that line is, I will wait in that line. Because I know at the end of that line, there's something glorious called Chick-fil-A sauce. And yeah, it's like I'm that's the message right there. If you can wait, you'll get your Chick-fil-A sauce. That is what the promised land is made of, is Chick-fil-A sauce. I'm praying that God will bless our city with one, and we will see. And so waiting. This is good to go, Pastor? So waiting brings delight. This is the title of my message. And it can maybe almost sound like an oxymoron a little bit. Waiting brings delight, because I don't know about you guys, but sometimes in the waiting is the least amount of fun that I'm having. In the waiting is the times where I'm like, I don't actually like this part, because the season of waiting can be a few days, it can be a few weeks, it could be a few decades. But what I've learned is that, and what I'm still learning, being in a waiting season even right now, is that if I allow myself to lean into the Lord in the waiting season, in the discomfort of where I am right now, then the outcome is so much greater. If I allow myself to keep my eyes focused on Him in the waiting, when I'm waiting for my breakthrough, when I'm waiting for my healing, when I'm waiting for you fill in the blank, I then get to see a greater outcome with the Lord. The danger is that if we're impatient people like myself, is let's just make this thing happen. Okay, God, I got the dream, I got the vision, now let's go do it. But as many of us know, the Lord's timing is perfect. Amen. And so so I want to read, start off by reading Matthew 5. This is 5, 1 through 10. And this is the Beatitudes that Jesus talks about. And so it says, and seeing the multitudes, he being Jesus, went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I was reading this, and I read it in the Passion Translation. And in verse 4, what delight comes to you when you wait upon the Lord? For you will find what you long for. Now, in the New King James Version, what we just read prior, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So it's quite a different take on that verse, but I just love, because what I feel it's saying is that even in mourning, even in the waiting, even in the mourning of a dream, of something that you had to lay down, or something that you're waiting on, what delight comes to you when you wait upon the Lord. What delight comes to you when you wait upon the Lord. For you will find what you long for. I don't know if you guys know this, but God is not a God who gives you a desire, gives you a dream, gives you a passion, just to watch you squirm as you try your hardest to get to the next thing and just stand up there and he laughs at you as you suffer. That's not our God. That's not who he is. That's not his character. If there's a dream on your heart or a passion on your heart or something you're going after and you are it's your deepest desire, God sees that and actually wants it more for you than you want it for yourself. So he's not a mean dad up there standing up there saying, haha, look how much they are trying and they're not getting to it and they're in agony and they're mourning over this thing. He's like, no, like, trust me in this process, because when we get to the end of this thing, you're going to be so happy you stuck it through. How we respond in the waiting is everything. And you guys, I've mentioned this before, but responding and reacting are two different things. And I really want us to get this, because we can react and think we're responding, but not realizing that, no, I just reacted. Meaning I did not think about that action or that words that I spoke out, and it just came out. That's reaction. No thought that something happened, I'm reacting. That's where the term knee-jerk reaction, that's because it's just, there's no thought to it. It just happens, right? Response is, I'm taking this information in. I'm taking what's happening to me or what was said, and I'm processing it. And now I'm going to give a developed thought, developed words, developed action to what I'm doing. How we respond in the waiting is everything. And our attitude is everything too. Now, this is something that I've really had to work through, is attitude. Okay? Because I'm not very patient, and so when God's timing doesn't work out like mine, I don't like it. God, can you just make it easy and work on my time? I know you have a schedule, but I have this written out. I have a schedule. Let's do this, Lord. And so attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. What you can do, what you can do versus what God can do, there is no comparison. And again, for personalities like mine who just want to control the situation, okay, I have the thing. I know what I'm going after. I know how to do, you know, I know how to get from A to B. Let me do that. Yeah, sure, I can do that. But if I allow God to come in that situation and him do it, I'm going to be so much more happy with the outcome. You know, we obviously, you guys know there's a new Lopez in the house. And it was with great delight that we waited on him. It actually, and for some of us, so for some of you guys have experienced this or know people like this or who have experienced this, you know, although babies are always good news, when a baby is born before their time, complications occur most of the time. And so that dream, you know, the dream, the vision, whatever it is, being the baby has to cook. It has to run its course. Yeah, we wanted to meet Tegan. We wanted him to be here. We wanted him to be here at 5 months, but at that time, it wasn't his time to be here. It was, you know, and if we would have rushed that process, sure, we would have still got Tegan, but it would have been at a great cost. It would have been an undeveloped child that we would have then had to go through a lot more hoops to get him to where he is now. And so in the waiting, recognize that, yes, it'd be great if what you're waiting for happens right now. But if you get it now ahead of God's time, is that what you really want? Probably not. So I have three things to do in the waiting. The first one is this: in the waiting, listen. In verse Ephesians 6, oh no, that's not what I'm going to. John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." In other versions, it says, "My sheep hear my voice." And those of you who have kids know there's a big difference between hearing and listening. Right? So I like this version because I think that I don't think it's just about hearing, because a lot of us hear God's voice, but are we listening? Are we listening to what he's saying? So in the waiting, it's important that we listen to what he's saying. Because a good amount of learning how to follow Jesus is learning how to listen. The issue isn't, is he speaking? Because he's always speaking. A huge issue is are we listening? If you guys can remember a time when we listened to the radio, maybe some of you still do, and that's fine. But, you know, we have to tune to a station. And there's a bunch of stations in between the stations you want to listen to that there's nothing. It's just static, right? If you can envision the Lord being on the certain channel, how do we get to that channel so we could hear him? So again, it's not a matter of like, is God speaking? I don't hear God. It's like, well, maybe you just need to tune to the right channel. And God speaking comes from in many different ways. It could come from you reading your Bible. It could come from you praying and you getting a sense of the Lord, or you hearing the audible voice of God. It could come from a Sunday sermon. It could come from, you know, a coworker. It could come from a family member. See, the thing is that we as believers, we box God into this space of like, this is how we hear God. And so we then go through seasons and we're like, Lord, I'm not hearing you. I don't know. I can't hear your voice. And God's saying, yeah, because I'm speaking to you through that person and you don't like the way I packaged it. Do you have some? Exactly. We hear him in our own thoughts and it does mess us up, because how many of you guys have ever felt like you heard the Lord but then questioned it because it was you thought, that's just my thought, right? All the time. When you become a child of God, when you become a believer, when you say yes to him, then you automatically have access to his voice. Access. You don't have to go to Pastor Mike and say, hey, I need you to talk to God for me. That's not how it works anymore. God then says, you're a child. Come speak to me. You're now my son. You're now my daughter. Come speak to me, and I'm faithful to speak to you. The more you speak to him, the more you recognize his voice, right? I don't know if I've used this example yet here, but for me, this is the way I think about it. So my wife and her younger sister, Madison, they sound exactly alike, okay? To a lot of people, if you talk to them on the phone, you wouldn't be able to hear the difference between who they are, right? And so their dad, for instance, doesn't know the difference of their voice. Nancy can call her dad from Madison's phone and have a whole conversation and he would know, or he would not know. He would think it's Madison the whole time. Like, that's where he is. Me, on the other hand, and they try this to me all the time. If I call Nancy's phone and Madison picks up, there's a slight second where I'm like, this sounds like Nancy. But I've heard Nancy's voice so much for going on 17 years that I know the difference. Why? Because I'm with her. I hear her. I talk to her and she talks to me. The same way. How do we know it's God's voice versus my own mind or the enemy? Because if you're constantly talking to him, you recognize his voice. Okay? So that's just a practical application. How do I hear God's voice? Talk to him. Practice. You'll begin to hear what's him and what's not him. Amen? So when we moved back, you know, it's crazy to me that we'd been here, been back home for over a year now. And when we moved back, it just wasn't easy. There was a lot of questions. What God, do you want us to be back in Yakima? God, are we supposed to be somewhere else? And I have, you know, dreams and vision of seeing revival break out in wherever I am. And so I'm asking this question. And I mean, my poor wife, she was just miserable with me because she was like, just get your stuff together and figure it out. Because I'm just like in limbo, like, God, what are we doing? Like, I don't know. And, you know, in the midst of COVID and all that stuff as well. So it was just a crazy time. And I was in a waiting. I was in a very tough waiting period. And how I got through that part of that season, that part of the waiting, is I had to then get quiet and listen to what he was saying. Because I had things in my mind of what I wanted to see and where I wanted to go and how I was going to accomplish those things. But I wasn't quite tuning into what he was saying. And so in the waiting, listening is key. The second thing is this. In the waiting, pray. Now this may seem so like, yeah, no duh, we pray. It's amazing to me how many times people will make decisions without basking it in prayer. And people, we have to get to a place where we recognize everything we do, every decision that we make, we have to bask it in prayer. We can't just show up anymore and say, well, God's going to bless it. There is a certain amount of truth to that. But there also is another thing where when you bask your life decisions in prayer, even if you heard the audible voice of God say, hey, go do that thing, it still needs to be basked in prayer. You're going to be way better off in life when you bask your decisions in prayer. Ephesians, this is where Ephesians comes in. Ephesians 6:18 in the Amplified says, with all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion and on every season, in the spirit and with this in view. Stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. In everything we pray. In everything we pray. The Lord expects us to do something with what he's telling, with what he's telling us. Even Jesus. Jesus came to this earth and began his ministry knowing the destiny on his life. He was going to the cross. We still see Jesus in prayer to the Lord. Talking, even the night he gets betrayed and Judas comes, what is he doing? He's praying. So if Jesus is praying about something that he actually knows, I'm the savior of the world, I'm going to go to the cross, you best believe that in my life, I need to make sure I'm praying over my life's decisions. Prayer is key. Praying keeps you in step with what God is saying. So even when you get the direction from the Lord, when you pray, that's what keeps you in step with what God's saying. It keeps you in tune. And the third thing is this: in the waiting, prepare. In the waiting, prepare. You know, the story of King David, anointed king as a young boy. Okay. But he didn't get the throne for another 15, 20 years. So it would have been very easy for David as a boy, okay, you're going to be king, great, awesome, give me the crown, give me the palace, give me the servants, give me all the stuff. And to then just get like lazy with it and say, okay, well, I'm going to be king. I don't have to do these things, Dad. I don't have to tend to your flock. I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to. No. Instead, what we see David doing is he's still tending to his father's flock. We still see him preparing. And what we get out of that is then one of the greatest stories, battle stories in the Bible, is him killing Goliath. We don't get David killing Goliath without a David preparing himself for kingship. We don't get that story. Because if in that moment, if David or if Goliath came and was challenging the people, David wouldn't have been ready. David would like, no, like I've just been sitting around waiting for myself to be crowned king. Like, I'm not going to fight this giant. Are you kidding me? So we don't get that story without a preparation from David. He kept himself prepared. That's how we get his honoring Saul. That's how we get that story as well. When he finally gets to the palace and he's serving Saul and he has to run because he's going to be murdered. That's how we get that David, because he was in preparation. That's how we get King David. You know, we have, I know this might come to a surprise to you guys, but when I was in grade kids, when I was nine, I played grade kids football. Okay. I was a much bigger kid that back then. And so not really. I had no place on the football field, but It just happened. It was, yeah. So I'm playing football. I'm 9 in football pads, okay? And I go to practice, and they're doing this drill, okay, where they get three boys, and they stand side by side. So one here, and one here, all face that direction, okay? These guys are going to get hit. This is the drill. They're going to get hit. So one guy, another guy is going to come, another young man is going to come, going to hit this first guy, okay? Then he's going to back up. This guy has to absorb the hit. Then this guy is going to get hit, absorb it a little bit harder. And then this last guy, that's the guy that the coach is like, hit him the hardest. So it just progresses the hit. Does that make sense? Does anyone want to guess where the coach put me? I'm still processing this hurt and pain. I don't know what this coach had against me. Again, it's not like it's me and all the other boys are my size. I'm one of the littler boys. So it wasn't like he was like, I don't have much to choose from. He's like, no, Eric, we'll put you here. So it happens. I mean, I would love to tell the story that the hit came and I knocked the guy down and they put me on their shoulders and they cheered and it was like, he's a star football player. But no, hit one, hit two. I don't think I had fully grasped what was about to happen either. So the hit comes and just like the movies, my feet off the ground, I fly maybe 3, 4, 5 feet back and I cry. Because that's what 9-year-olds do when they get hit. The point being is I was not prepared whatsoever. And in life, what will happen is we'll get these words from the Lord or we'll be in our waiting season. And we actually are, we know the direction we're going. We know where we want to go. But we don't do anything to prepare. And we're like, okay, you're waiting and you know what you have desired or you know what you're going after. What have you been doing lately? Oh, I've just been just waiting, you know, just twiddling my thumbs and God's faithful. He's going to come. Yes. He also wants you to do something with what he's given you. He wants you to be ready for when the breakthrough happens. He wants you to be ready for when the restoration in your family happens. He wants to be ready for when the healing happens, for when you're waiting for that job and it happens. He wants you to be mentally, spiritually, physically ready for that thing. So preparation is one of a big key in this. We have some friends of ours that they are going on a faith journey. When and how is still up in the air, but the what is this? This family of 6, like us, and I guess technically 8 because they have these 2 dogs that are basically human beings as well. They're mastiffs. They're huge. God told them in dreams, prophetic words, et cetera, et cetera, get rid of everything. Buy an RV and go with your family across the country. So again, that's the what. How and even why is still up in the air. Now, it would be easy to get a word like that. Okay, God, cool. Well, I'll wait on you. When you bring the RV to me and you park it in my driveway and, you know, you make the perfect, like, somebody comes and just buys my house for, you know, 10 times the asking price. Like, yes, God, I'm ready. But no, that's not what they're doing. They're preparing. They're legitimately getting rid of everything. They're selling everything. Again, they don't know when it's going to happen. They don't know why. And I share that story to share, like, I look at their story and I think, wow, what a perfect example of what it looks like to get a word from the Lord and have no answers, but still prepare. To still, okay, I listened to you and I'm praying about it and now I'm going to prepare. Because when you show up, God, I want to be ready. I don't want to be caught off guard. I don't want to be like, oh no, it's happening and I'm not ready to go. Like, I want to be ready to go. And this is the word that Nancy and I, 9 years ago now, when we left down to Reading and we did our faith journey, it was the same exact word. You have to be ready to go regardless if you have any answers. And that is what faith looks like. I have a word from you, Lord. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know why you're sending me. I don't know what you're sending me to, but I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And right now, I need to prepare. So some of you, how this applies to you is on you as far as like, what are you waiting for? And how are you being diligent in the waiting? What does it look like for you? How are you taking this dream, this desire, this passion, the things that you're waiting to see happen in your life? Maybe you're praying for a family member and you're wanting to see them get better. You wanted to see them come to the Lord. You're praying for your marriage. You're wanting to see it restored. You're praying for your kids. You're wanting to see them, you know, make better decisions. You're praying for yourself. You're praying for... There's so many other things that, you know, sometimes life is full of just waiting. So we can't avoid the waiting because it's going to happen. But what we can do is we can be diligent in the waiting. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team back up. And he moves when we make room for him. You know, we yes, God is... He's a gentleman. He's not just going to come in and you know, nudge his way in. He can if he really wants to. But it's amazing what happens when we make room for him. When we create a space for God to show up in our lives, it's amazing what happens. So we're going to worship. And I just want you guys, if you are holding on to burdens in life of God, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to process this. I just want you to begin to lay them down. Even if you have to come up and do a prophetic act and lay it down at the altar. Envision that thing that you're waiting for and come up to the altar and just lay it down. And let it be a spiritual declaration that God, on this Sunday, on May 16th, that I lay down what I was waiting for because I want your timing to be perfect in this thing. Amen? So let's worship.
Seas that are shaking.
Praise the Lord. Well, there's a great song called Sovereign Over Us. And one of the things that it says, a line in there, he's working in our waiting. So just keep in mind that when you're waiting, the Lord is at work. So whatever you're believing him for, know that even you don't see anything with your natural eyes, he is working. And that should give us confidence to continue to wait. Because like Eric said, sometimes it's difficult to wait, especially when you're standing behind somebody in a line that keeps going back for stuff. Anybody else deal with that? Yeah, that's when I get most impatient. And I just say, okay, Lord, you're teaching me something. So, well, God bless you. Don't forget, next week is going to be a picnic after church. So where, like, Zeke, stand up. That's perfect. What Zeke is wearing is perfect. So we'll take a picture and post it on the internet site. And this is the proper attire. So anyway, okay, God bless you all. You have a wonderful day. Love you, and stay safe.